Matthew chapter 28, let's look at verses 18 through 20. Jesus has just risen from the grave. These are the closing scriptures in Matthew's gospel. He is finishing the book. Final words right here on display. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, that's a profound statement. That could be a sermon in its own. But Jesus is the King. Amen. Heaven and on earth, he has all of... Somebody actually came up to me this past week with a small prayer request. They said, "It's really a small thing. Can we pray about it?" I said, "Well, look, here's what we know. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Let's pray about it," right? That reminds us. And here's what he says. He says, "Now you go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This right here, this important unit in Scripture, is often referred to as the Great Commission. This Great Commission is important to all of our lives because it teaches us that we all, everybody in this room and everybody online, everybody who has said yes to Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, is called to the Great Commission. And I love that phrase, commission, right? Because Jesus says it's not just a mission that he gives you and he says, "Ah, peace, I'll see you in heaven someday." Come on, right? But Jesus says, "Behold, I'm going to do it with you." It's a co-mission. Come on. Jesus says, "I'm sending you to go do the mission." What's a mission? It's an assignment. It's where you get an assignment from the one in authority who sends you to go complete it. He says, "I'm giving you the mission, but behold," because some of you are thinking, "How am I going to do that? I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not cool enough. I don't know enough." We got every excuse in the book to not do what we're called to do. And Jesus says, "Behold," he drops a "behold." In other words, hold on a second. "I'm going to go with you always to the end." Right? So Jesus says, "On the mission I've called you to, I'm joining up with you, and I have all authority. So there's nothing you have to worry about in heaven and on earth. Let's just go." Right? Let me go ahead and pair this commission with the Great Commission in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 17, Jesus is giving what's called high priestly prayer. And I would encourage you, if you get some time this week, to check out John chapter 17 and just begin to read slowly through the prayer that Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. In fact, this is a prayer that he's praying for us. Church, this is a prayer that he's praying for you online. This is a prayer that he prayed, and here's what he prays. In fact, can you help me read it together? Ready, set, go. "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Verse 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." These two profound scriptures, Matthew 28, John chapter 17, and let me just go ahead and just remind you that in the Gospel of Mark and in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts, all three have Great Commission statements. Right? It's all over. Hey, you don't have to look hard to find a call to action in the Bible. It is all over the place. But I just think these two are really important. Jesus in Matthew 28 says, "Hey, I'm calling you now to go do the disciple making. The things that we were doing the past 3 years, I want you to now go be the discipler." And in John 17, Jesus prays this prayer. Hey, look at this first part of the prayer. This will frustrate some people in the room. "I do not ask that you take them out of the world." Some of you are like, "Lord Jesus, just the world. Ah, just the world is so messed up. The world is just full of so much evil. Lord, just remove me from this world." And Jesus goes, "I didn't pray for that. I prayed that you stay in the world. I pray that you would remain in the world. But," Jesus says, "but here's what I do pray, that you be kept from the evil one, because greater is the one who's in you." Come on, the one who's with you. The one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, the evil one has no authority or power over the Savior Christ himself. Amen? And so Jesus is praying that victorious reality over us. And then he says, they're not of the world. He says, you don't need to be of the world, but I'm praying that you'll stay in the world because honestly, the world needs you. Just as I'm not of the world, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is going to continue to conform us, shape us, chisel us so that we can live sent. Here's what Jesus prays. You want to know what Jesus prayed for you? He prayed that you would be sent into the world. Jesus says, just as I was sent in the world, I'm now praying that you would be sent into the world. What is a missionary, a missio? Missio means to be sent. A missionary is somebody who's sent to go do a task, an assignment, a job. Here's what I'm convinced of. Everybody in the church that calls upon the name of Jesus is now called to live life on mission every single day. What does that make me? That makes me an everyday missionary. What does that make you? An everyday missionary. Here's why I think it's important and why we should really lean in today. And I can say this today out of some conviction for myself because I know for me, I've went on several mission trips over the past decade, some globally, some in nationally. I remember going on a, you just heard from Pastor Josh. I remember when we sent a few mission trips to the church that he planted in Portland, Oregon, and some awesome teams we sent out there. And you know what's so interesting? Or when we went on a mission trip to Zambia, or we went on a mission trip to India, you know, you get out there, you get prayed up, And you go like actually share the gospel with people. You knock on doors and you invite people to church and you do serving projects and you meet people and you're hungry and you're having times of prayer. And what happens? You come back home and you tap back into what? Normalcy? What? What changed? It's almost like, okay, we get off the plane or out of the car and we leave our missionary card, we check it in, and we just go back to playing church. No. That must not be the case. I don't read about that Christianity in the Bible. In fact, I wrote this down in my notes, and I'm a little bit nervous that it's going to offend some people, but I'm actually okay with offending you because I love you, and we can talk about it after, all right? Here it goes. Let me just put it up right on the screen. We must strive for a more biblically informed Christianity as opposed to an Americanized Christianity. It's something we must strive for. Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And here's what I think. If we're not careful, we'll start to let the culture shape the way we read the Bible instead of the Bible shape the way we read the culture. We'll start letting our comfort shape the way we read the Bible. We'll start picking and choosing verses. Can I just tell you, the Bible's not a buffet. There's some good buffets in Vegas. But I know that you don't pick everything out when you go there. You get a little scoop of this. You say, that looks a little bit funky. I'm going to skip that. You skip the salad bar. Maybe you like my kids, and you go right to that ice cream machine. Come on, right? And you go, like, I'm going to take some forgiveness. Come on. That no condemnation stuff. Let me get all that. Ooh, the mercy, double scoop. Oh, grace. Let me fill my cup up, right? The missionary stuff, that's for the pastors. That's for somebody. There's some elite Christians at Walk Church. Those are the missionaries. I do not see that in the Bible. In fact, I made a little list. I'm going to put it up here on the screen. We're going to put this list up because I want to be as clear as I can. I want to dig as deep as I can because we're open to it. Come on, Walk Church, right? You ready for a challenge? The Great Commission is not gender specific. In case all the guys in the room go, man, this is a great message for the ladies. They should go be the missionaries. The Women's Missionary Alliance, that should be the ones who do the job. They should go do it, and we'll sit back and we'll watch sports, and they can be the missionaries. Or maybe you have this faulty mentality where the ladies stay on the sidelines and do cheerleading while the men be the missionaries. Can I just tell you, the Great Commission is not gender specific. We have men and women baptizing. We have men and women leading in various specific roles. I'm not talking about church government here. I'm talking about the Great Commission that Jesus left us with in Matthew 28 for his disciples to go out and make disciples to be on mission is for both men and women. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. It's not gender specific. I remember there was once a person, Nina was sharing somewhere and shared a picture on the screen of her baptizing, and Someone said, who gave you the authority to baptize? Jesus did. Come on, somebody. When has the Great Commission been gender specific? It's for everybody here in the house. The Great Commission is not age specific. Oh, I can just see the youngsters in the room now saying, man, when I get older, maybe I'll consider this. Oh, I can just see the older people. That's for the younger people. Guess what? Nobody does anything. I'm waiting for the day where a middle school student baptizes a middle school student. I'm waiting for high school students to get up in this church and not be pressured by the culture. Jesus says, I'm not praying you out of the world. I'm sending you into the world to be the change that the world needs, right? Why don't you consider being a missionary to your high school, a missionary to your specific space and your place? If you're older, I was just talking to a lady. I'll just say in love, she's seasoned. She's a little older in this season of life. She's up there, and she goes, you know what's wild? I just met back up with my sister, and we started talking about faith. And I said, yeah, because you're a missionary to your sister in this season of life. The Great Commission is not age-specific. The Great Commission is not domain-specific. What's a domain? We're going to talk a little bit more about this in the coming weeks and toward the end of this sermon. But what a domain, here's how we define a domain. A domain is wherever you live, your neighborhood, wherever you work, right, your vocation, wherever you play. If you like going to the EOS gym on this specific street, that's part of your domain. If you frequent this coffee shop all the time, that's part of your domain. Can I just say the Great Commission is not domain-specific? Believe Jesus wants to move in all the domains. The Great Commission is not education specific. Oh, I can just hear the excuses now. Man, and once I get my seminary degree, then I'll be a missionary. Where'd you read that in the Bible, fam? I would say you're probably smarter than most of the disciples who got the first Great Commission. I think too often we're tying and tethering all types of different excuses why we don't do the one thing God called us to do. The Great Commission is not ministry specific. Ooh, I think this is my favorite one. Do you know why? Because so many of you think that this job is only up to me. They're like, people are like, yo, man, Pastor Hayden, Pastor Marvin, they're going to do all the work. You going to clap for that right there? We're going to do our part. But make sure you're doing your part. I'm going to send people right back to you. Now, I think that we should invite people to church, but can I just be completely 100 today? I feel like church for me is a lot more like a really good like gas station. Come on, right? I come here to fuel up. I come here to get my tank filled back up. Thank you for the blood applied, amen? And it's so good to see my brothers and sisters in the house and to high five. And oh, I needed this reminder of communion. And I needed to sing. And I needed to hear a message. And I needed to grow deeper. And I needed to get some coffee. And I needed to get a sweet creation. Come on, right? And I needed all that also I could be sent back into the mission field. Come on, amen? But I think for too many people, this is it. Going to church is your Christianity. And can I say that's a cheap Christianity? And I would say even this, not a biblical one. I would say you'd be hard-pressed to find a detailed church service in the Bible. But you will find the church in Acts being everyday missionaries. And that's my challenge for us here today is to consider, are we taking the Great Commission serious enough? I was reading some thoughts from the great missionary Hudson Taylor, who took the gospel from England to China. Hudson Taylor says it like this. We'll put it up here on the screen. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. What does that mean? Do we read this and do we think this is for somebody else? Or do we think this is a drop-down menu on a website that says, should I select that? Like it's an option. Brothers and sisters, this is not an option for us. This is a command we've been given. Maybe we need to go back into the message we heard last week. Is Jesus really king? And if you see him as king, then you see your life as one that's to be lived in service to the king who is good and who is going to be with you on this journey to where we become every single day missionaries. And I believe this, our city needs it. I'm from the city of Las Vegas. My wife and I both are. There's a lot of people in our city that need Jesus, that we deeply love, and I know that you deeply love. I read this statistic recently from Barna Research Studies that lists Las Vegas as the fifth largest unchurched city in America. So we made the top five, not in a good way. We live in a very unchurched city. In fact, I would say there's over 1 million people right this moment in our backyard that could care less about what we're doing today. They have no interest, no concern on an eternal destination that will lead to hell on our watch. And I believe the Jesus that we've been preaching about will hold us accountable to us taking his commission seriously. Is this an option to consider, or is this a command to be obeyed? I believe that this is a command that Jesus wants us to engage in and to take seriously. And I believe in doing so, your life will be filled with that much more purpose and power. If you start to see your domain, your life, as a mission field, I think that'll move you in such a way where you'll wake up on Monday morning and you'll go, ooh, I wonder what God has for me today. As if you were on a mission trip. I love what David Platt says. He says, your life is a mission trip. Think about that for a second. Right? If you've ever went on a mission trip, which is good, we encourage mission trips. We're going to send two trips out this summer and fall. We're going to send a trip to Guatemala. We're going to send a trip to George, South Africa. We're going to send more trips to work with our church planters domestically. And I love mission trips. He says, your whole life's a mission trip. If you see it from that lens, this is not just a good thing to consider. This is a command to be obeyed. Are you living sent? Are you living as a sent one, as a missio from Jesus to the world? So I got three thoughts. I want to put them up here on the screen that I pray would encourage you. The first one is what I've just been trying to convince you of, is that Jesus calls every one of us to be missionaries. He's called us all to the mission field. I hope that we leave here today convinced in our head that this is our calling, that Jesus calls us to look at our neighborhoods, look at our lives, look at our gyms, look at our coffee shops, look at our domains and say, okay, this is my mission field. In fact, Jesus gave this command to his disciples, didn't he? When he popped up on Peter, who was in the boat, fishing, not catching anything. Come on, right? And Jesus, what does he say to them in Matthew chapter 4? He says, hey, guess what? You guys are fishermen, right on. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Have you ever seen that before? Right where Jesus goes, I'm going to flip the script. You're not just going to be a fisherman. You're going to be a fisher of men. I think my issue, my burden with, I'm just going to speak for our church. I can't speak for every church. Is I don't know enough of us that walk around with fishing poles. I read this quote from Paul Harvey. He says it like this. He says, we've strayed from being fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. We said, hey, Pastor Hyden, here's my fishing pole. Go do the fishing pole for me. We became Christians and then we left our fishing poles behind. And we became real good sitters. And that's not a biblical view of Christianity. I read this thought as I think about our city and I think about lostness, and I wrote this down in my notes just to keep pushing into this thought. Jesus expects us to be missionaries every day. Every day. Come on, somebody say every day.
Every day.
Point number two of the message, right? Number one, his calling on our life is to the mission field. We got to know that. Point number two is he expects us to live on mission every day. Interesting verse. Paul writes to his young disciple, Timothy, and he goes, I want you to do this work in season and out of season. Say that with me. Say in season and say out of season. What does that mean? There's no off season. At least that's how I read that. If we're called to do the work of the missionary in season and out of season, when's the off season? I think it's every day. It's an everyday thing, you guys. Church, this is something that we should wake up on Monday morning and we should say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be a missionary today. What is that going to look like at my bank? What's that going to look like as a realtor? What's that going to look like as a coach? What's that going to look like with my skill set? How do I be a missionary to my family? So the calling on our lives, it's not just a one-time thing. This is an everyday thing. The question is, are we doing it? The question is today, can Jesus look at us and say, these are my sent ones? I was reading in a book called Growing Up by Robbie Gallaty, and he starts in that book by saying this statement. He says, the gospel came to you because it was going to someone else. So the gospel made it to you, and this good news changed your life. This good news opened your mind and your heart to understand that you were lost, that you needed to be saved, and you could be saved through the blood of Christ. And you said yes to Jesus. And he said, now that good news is going to you through you. Who needs that good news in your life? Could it be that you just assume somebody else will tell them? Could it be that you've neglected your responsibility to share? That God has called all of us, Walk Church, to be everyday missionaries. And I'm convicted by that. Because I feel like, you know what? God's called me to the mission field right here in Las Vegas for such a time as this, and I am hungry to reach our city. But I want to do it together. Amen? He's called us to do that. You know, my wife and I oftentimes think as we drive through our neighborhood, and we live right behind the school. We live just right around the corner here at the diversity of our neighborhood. I mean, the nations are filled in our neighborhood. And right next door to us are these two younger Asian girls who come play in our backyard pretty much daily. We have such a great relationship with their family, but I still remember the moment where they came and sat down and had a quick little snack at the table one day. And I said, hey, let's just go ahead and just pray for this food. And the little girl goes, what's that mean? And try to explain prayer to an 8-year-old. Who says, who's God? Is he listening? Jesus? What was that? And I just want to tell you right now, there's a lot of people in Las Vegas who don't know Jesus. In fact, who've never even heard of Jesus. I was reading this quote from J. Oswald Sanders, convicted me. He said it like this. He says, we talk of the second coming. Half the world's never heard of the first. We're like, man, we want Jesus to come back. A lot of people never knew Jesus came. What do we do? What do we do with that, church? I didn't feel content leaving off the Jesus Is series by saying, okay, now let's just go back to... No, I believe Jesus is still at work now through his body. We say things like this, oh man, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. Are you really? Because where's he going? I think Jesus is going to lostness. I think Jesus is with his church. He's here today. Praise God for that. But I believe he's not going to just stay here when we close the doors. I believe he's going to go with you. And if Jesus said, I came to seek and to save lost people, well, what does that make you? That makes you a missionary. It makes you an everyday missionary. So first point is Jesus has called us all to the mission field. That's John 17. He prayed that we would be sent. That's Matthew 28. He gave us the Great Commission, right? And then the second point, right, is that Jesus expects us all to do this every day. The third point, I'll put it up here on the screen as we close. Jesus expects us to do this everywhere. Which I think for us is right here in our city. You know what? It's right here in our church. Now, I think sometimes people think serving in our kids' ministry is just serving in a kids' ministry. No, 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 no. Don't for a second think that. That's a missionary calling. To share the gospel with 4 and 5-year-olds who have yet to believe in Jesus, you're just being a missionary in that space. God's called us to the work every day, everywhere. Where has God called you? The great missionary William Carey said, every Christian needs an open Bible and an open map. It's not God, what if you send me? It's God, where are you sending me? And you know what I believe? I think he's sending a lot of us home, sending a lot of us to our neighborhoods. You know what the realtors in Las Vegas tell me? We can't sell enough. We're selling plots of land. We got so many people moving here from California. Come on, somebody. Right? We got so many people that are moving to different apartments and renters and buyers. Here's what that shows me. Are we planting enough churches? Are we inviting people? Here's what I know, Walk Church. Let me see your eyes as we close. Let me just go here with me for a second. I know that this could be convicting, but just hear me for a second. Here's what I believe. I don't think the devil is sleeping. I think he's working overtime. I think he's working very hard. Not only that, I see a lot of people on bikes, wearing their ties, got their white shirts pressed in my neighborhood. That's my neighborhood. What am I doing about it? I see people all over the place peddling false gospels, knocking on doors, leaving their informations and literature. What are we doing? Going to church? At some point, you got to stop just going to church and you have to start being the church. And going to church is a great gas pump. Fill me back up to send me back out. Come on, right? What does being the church look like? Being the church looks like being an everyday missionary. The ecclesia, right? Even the word church, ecclesia in the Greek, is still a military word. It was the called out ones, the army. Hey, if you put your faith in Jesus, you have enlisted in the battle against darkness. He has called you to be a gospel carrier. He has called you to be a good news sharer, a herald of the truth. I mean, look at this verse with me. One more verse. Romans chapter 10. And Paul writes, and he's appealing to the Romans. Come on. Hey, would you read this with me? Would you read it? Ready, set, go. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are everyday missionaries? Walk, church. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. For some reason, oh, I'm going to clap about that. I think for some reason we read this stuff or we don't. We don't read it enough. We read it and we think that's for somebody else. I can't say it loud enough. That's for you. 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 You, 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 you. This is us. Come on, amen. As we close, I just want to give you this call to action. And it's just this little card that we developed. We call it a domain assessment. It says everyday missionary on it. And I would just ask you, I'm asking you to fill this out. I'm just going to go ahead and straight up ask you, please. This is going to help us identify who's in our church. And what do I mean by that? This is not for us to spam your email or try to give you unsolicited or unwanted information. This is for us to be able to recognize What type of everyday missionaries do we have at Walk Church? What's your domain? Where do you live, work, and play? So we have education domain. Can I just tell you, we need missionaries in the education field. Agriculture and water. We need missionaries in the agriculture field. We need missionaries in the hospitals. Come on, amen. We need missionary nurses. We need missionary practitioners. We need missionary physical therapists. Come on. What about ministry? We need missionals, ministry leaders. We need missionaries in the government, don't we? Amen. Do you think that people that serve in government should just go to church and then leave their church at home and go do their... No, Jesus goes with them. Matthew 28, we need missionaries in sports. We need missionary hospitality. We need missionaries at the host stand. We need missionary servers. We need missionary business and economic leaders. We need missionaries in the IT. We need missionaries in the arts and entertainment, in the science and technology, in management, audio, video, leadership, childhood development, orphan care, hospitality, finance, athletics, arts, construction. We need missionaries every day, everywhere. Come on, amen? So I would just ask you, would you just fill this out? And check the boxes that apply to you. Next week, we're going to put up on the screen all the missionaries that are in our church. We'll be able to assess, wow, we're heavy in the education, or we're heavy in the sports and hospitality. I'd like to see what type of missionaries we have here. I want to just take a moment and honor my sister, Kaylani. She's right here in the front. Yeah, what's up, Kay? I just want to shout you out because you serve with a ministry called FCA, Fellowship Christian Athletes. And FCA is such a big deal. Why? Because we go in on high school campuses and college campuses. We come in with pizza because everybody loves pizza. Come on, amen. And we use that as an opportunity to try to share good news with high school and college students that are in the sports. That's how I heard about Jesus. There was a missionary who moved to Harrisonburg, Virginia, and went on the campus of James Madison and walked up to my table in the dining hall and said, hey, come to FCA tonight. I said, why? He said, come get some free pizza. I said, all right. A couple weeks later, I showed up, and I, for the first time, started to really ask deep questions about the Bible. What do I believe? So I honor you for not just working with a ministry, but being a missionary in our city for God's glory. Amen? We need more missionaries to say yes. Last night, Nina and I, we went to see a brother in our church named Tom Ford. He's an actor, and he is in a show that's happening in our city. And I was like, dude, this guy is an incredible actor. He owned the part so well. We need missionaries in Hollywood. Come on, amen. We need missionaries that are helping make a difference in the acting space. You know, one thing that I've felt compelled to do in the past year is to really begin my basketball journey of helping the next generation of basketball players understand the game and get better and work on their game on and off the court. Can I just tell you, that's part of my missionary call. It's not just a sports call. It's an opportunity to engage the younger Haydens, try to help them see something even better. So I just want to say for you, as we do this series, I want you to see yourself as an everyday missionary. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for everybody in our church for such a time as this. Everybody watching this message online right now. God, I pray we would see ourselves in the story. See ourselves in the message. Moms and dads and brothers and sisters, God. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here that does not know Christ, I want to invite you now to put your faith in him. It starts with faith. You can just say, Jesus, right now, just join me. If that's where you're at, if you came in here and you came in lost and you just need to be reminded, just call in his name right now. Jesus, thank you for saving me. I believe you died for all of my sins and rose from the grave and defeated death. And today, I put my faith in you. Thank you for making a way for me. I'm ready to follow you. I'm a little bit nervous, but I know you're with me. So I have nothing to worry about. The one who has all authority is with me. So I give you my yes. I repent of my sins that's holding me back from anything that I'm called to be in you, Lord. And I'm ready to follow by faith. And God, I pray for everybody here in the room that is wrestling with the tension of being a missionary to our city. And God, I pray you would release freedom in the room to do whatever you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.